Well, so many awesome experiences where the good news of salvation was proclaimed. Your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers were invited to hear the good news of salvation. And people responded because this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. God is wanting to bring people to a saving knowledge of himself. This morning, God would be delighted if anyone here in our worship service would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It's through your generosity, through your prayers, and through your invitation that people are hearing the gospel all over Orange County and really all over the world as we send out missionaries and laborers to various nations proclaiming the good news of salvation. See, it's a team effort. And that's something that's true about everything in the body of Christ. It's a team effort. It's not because of any one person or any small group of people. It's every member, every believer, every person who's a follower of Jesus making their contribution of prayer and service and sharing the love of Jesus that the work of Jesus is accomplished. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about this morning as we continue this series 12, experiencing the best relationship with God and others that we've been designed for, because all of Romans 12 is about responding to the mercy of God. And our first response to the mercy of God is to offer our whole bodies, to give our lives to Jesus Christ in response to his mercy. And then he says, our next response to the mercy of God is to consider ourselves in a right relationship with God and others because he's made us a part of his church, the body of Christ, and we're actually members of one another. We have an interdependent relationship with one another. And in the passage that we're going to look at today in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, he says, not only are we members of one another, but every believer has been uniquely gifted by God's grace, and he's given us a spiritual gift to contribute and to serve, to bless one another, and to build up the body of Christ. So what we're going to look at this morning, I'm entitling, Play Your Position. Play your position. Let's look at it in its context. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. For just as each one of us is part of one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If I believe the Apostle Paul, if he was writing this today, in our sports-minded culture, he would use a team as the metaphor for the church. He's using the body. See, we're one body. We're all on Team Jesus. And we are each, as believers in Jesus, members of this body. As part of Team Jesus, we're all on the team, and we all have a position to play on the team. And just as God designed the human body where every part has an actual function and it's been designed specifically to perform that function, on Team Jesus, all of us as team members have been given a gifting by God to play our position. That's everyone. Not just the pastors, not just the elders, not just the key volunteers. Everyone is on Team Jesus. Everyone has a position to play, and it's when everyone plays their position that Team Jesus wins. And so Romans chapter 12 is talking about this team concept, this body concept, and in the passage that we have, he's talking about spiritual gifts. So let's try to unpack this. I've got five observations that I want to make, and I want to tell you where they're all moving. All of these observations are moving towards getting us in the game. Getting us in the game. Here's the first observation. The church is the body of Christ, and every believer is a member of the body and of one another. You know what that means? You belong. You belong. See, Paul's teaching is on the church as a body. This is one of the main teachings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament letters. So here in Romans, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul is talking about the church. And the reason he's talking about the church is, as he says in Ephesians chapter 3, this was God's eternal purpose. I mean, back when it was just the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, before God created the angels, before he created heaven and earth, and before he created human beings, God had a dream for the church that he would create a people who would be connected to him and connected to one another, and they, his people, would be the means by which the good news of Jesus and the light of Jesus would be spread throughout the entire earth. And now that eternal plan has come to fruition, because after Jesus was raised from the dead, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to unite people. And the book of Acts tells us that the church was born, and now in this kingdom age, God is calling people not only to salvation in himself in terms of their personal relationship with him. That's true. But side by side is the fact that God, when he calls us into a relationship with himself, he calls us into a relationship with the church and with one another. We're all on Team Jesus. The church is the body of Christ, and every believer is a member of the body and a member of one another. So Paul says here in Romans chapter 12 that we're connected to Christ. That's salvation. We talk about that all the time, crossing the line. So if you're here this morning and you're an invited guest, or you've come because you saw our sign or you heard us on the radio, the most important truth for you to respond to is your response to Jesus Christ. It's crossing the line and just asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And what the Bible says is when you do that, you get more than you bargained for. Because not only do you get connected to Jesus, you actually get connected to Team Jesus. And you get connected to every team member on Team Jesus. We are a body of Christ. Last week, I had the privilege of speaking at the Persian church that we partner with that meets in our chapel on Sunday evenings. Maybe you don't know that, but we have a Persian congregation that meets in our chapel. They meet at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. I had the pleasure of being invited to speak at the church. Just what a wonderful group of believers. Their first language is Farsi. And so their services are in Farsi. And so I was there with Pastor Jonathan, and he was translating for me, and we had a great time because he's a preacher. And I said to everybody as I got up to speak, your pastor's a preacher, I'm a preacher. We may be here for several hours, but we're going to have a good time. I was just so, it was amazing to me how warmly greeted I was, and what an instant connection I had with people whose cultural background, totally different than mine. Their language, totally different than mine. But we had an instant connection because we love Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, and we're all on Team Jesus. Next week, my wife Donna and I, we're going to be traveling to Cyprus, not the little city up, you know, north of us, but the country of Cyprus. We've been invited to speak. I'm speaking at a conference in Paphos, where the Bible actually mentioned the Apostle Paul was there. So if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. I'm going to be speaking at a citywide conference. My wife Donna is speaking at a women's conference. And I fully expect that even though we come from totally different parts of the world, we come from different cultural backgrounds, we speak a different language, I fully expect to have an instant rapport with my brothers and sisters in Cyprus. You know why? Because we're all on Team Jesus. And so just look around. Look to the side, look to the back, look to the front, because you are looking at your fellow teammates on Team Jesus. The church is the body of Christ, and every believer is a member of the body and a member of one another. So the point that God is making in this passage and in all the other passages where he talks about the church as a body is that we don't live in isolation. We live in connection. Relationships are not an option. And our relationship to the church as a body is not an option. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul highlights this in his text because he doesn't just say that we are members of one another. So the idea is not just, I can have my relationship with Christ, and as long as I have some Christian friends, I'm fulfilling the kind of gospel call on my life as a follower of Jesus. No, we have a relationship with Christ and with one another and with the body. I cannot live out my discipleship in Jesus Christ as God intended it apart from my connection to the church. You cannot live out your discipleship in Jesus Christ as God intended apart from your connection, not just to other Christians, but to the body of Christians, the church. It's God's design. It's God's plan. And when God's plan gets fulfilled in God's way, it's a win-win-win. It's a win for Jesus. It's a win for the church, and it's a win for every individual member. That means it's a win for you. See, the truest thing about us is what God says is true, and God says we belong to one another, we belong to Him, and we belong to the church, which is His body. Play your position. Here's a second observation. Every believer has a function in the body, and that function is determined by the spiritual gift that they have received. So you are gifted and you're needed. You belong, you're also gifted, and you're needed. You see, the church is compared here by the Apostle Paul to a human body. And each member of the human body has a very unique function. I mean, if you just consider your body, there are so many parts to the body, the parts that we see, and then there's parts that we don't even see. And every part has been designed by God intricately and with purpose and design. And when the body's really healthy, then every part is functioning in a healthy way. And each part is designed to function specifically according to its purpose. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. So we're all Team Jesus, and there are all these positions on the team, and God has a specific position for you. And when you play your position, and 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 you play your position, when we all are playing our position, Team Jesus wins. And God is the one who's determined not only the team and the members, but the purpose and the function of every member on the team. See, the human body is just, it's just so awesome in the way it's been designed. When I was young when this happened, I was in my early 20s, and my left shoulder started hurting me. And I noticed it when I was working out, and then it just was hurting me more even when I wasn't working out. And then any kind of movement I had started hurting me. And, you know, when I was young and lean and mean, I just kind of absorbed it and thought it would go away, right? It just worked out harder. And that was stupid, by the way, but that's what I did. And then it started hurting a lot. And then I can't work out because my shoulder's hurting me too much. And then it got to where any movement of my arm that involved my shoulder really hurt. And then it got to where I was trying to compensate so I wouldn't move my arm. And I got to where I was walking like this, because then it started making all my muscles and my trap get all stiff. And then it started making my neck all stiff. And then it got my back all, I was walking like the Elephant Man. I finally go to the doctor. He took an x-ray of my shoulder, and he went, hmm. Now, that always makes you really confident. And I was, like I said, in my early 20s, and he said, you have the shoulder of a 70-year-old man. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, you've got, like, all kinds of calcium deposits and little tiny bone chips all in your shoulder joint. You have bursitis. I got good news. I can give you a steroid shot, and it can clear it up. I said, bring it on. He got this huge needle. I mean, it was big. And it went whoop, right into my shoulder joint. Ah! And then literally within 10 minutes, it was like, I was like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, you know? All of a sudden, it was like oil in there. And it was like, my shoulder. And then once my shoulder got loose, then my neck kind of got loose. And then once my neck kind of got loose, then my back got loose. And then I was back functioning like a normal human being. What's the point? My shoulder affected every other part of my body, because it's a member of the body. Here's the point, gang. We're all on Team Jesus, and for the team to be healthy, every member on the team needs to be healthy. If a member of the team is not healthy, the team is not healthy the way it was created to be healthy. And if every member isn't functioning the way it was supposed to be functioning, then the whole body can't function the way it's supposed to function. And so the point is, you matter. You're needed. You're functioning the way God designed you to function is necessary for the body of Christ to be all that it's created to be. You matter to Jesus, you matter to this church. Because every believer has a function in the body, and that function is determined by the spiritual gift that they have received. You see, every member is necessary because we're Team Jesus. So not only is that true like in the body, it's true on a team. So this is football season, so get prepared for some football illustrations, gang. I just got to tell you. So like on a football team, how many times have you seen this? High school football, college football, professional football. The punter gets the ball snapped to him, and he kicks the ball. Boom, it's a great punt. Everybody goes down for punt coverage, and somehow the guy who receives it, he escapes a tackle. He zips over here. He moves over here. He puts a move on this guy. He's doing the Heisman like this, and now he's running down the sideline, and there's only one guy left who, if he played his position, is there to make the tackle. And who is that? The kicker, the punter. No, he didn't just punt and go, okay, I've done my job, and then walk off the field. His job is, just in case the guy breaks loose, you hang back because you're the only person there that could stop a touchdown. And sometimes the punter is the hero because he played his position and he's there, but sometimes he's not because he didn't play his position. See, you play your position, whatever it is. And God has a position for every person here because you're on Team Jesus. And in this passage, he says that position is defined by the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. God gives spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is the distributor of gifts. He's the divine giver. He determines who he gives what gifts to, and whatever gifts he's given to you, that helps you determine the position you're supposed to play on Team Jesus. See, a spiritual gift is a supernatural endowment of grace. A supernatural endowment of grace. As we're going to see as we unpack this, even in this passage, gifts are functionalities in serving Jesus and serving people. And each of those functionalities, there's a sense in which every believer is to function that way throughout their Christian life. In the same way on a team, whether it's basketball or baseball or football, there's certain basic skills that every player on the team plays. If you play basketball, you dribble a ball, you pass, and you shoot, right? Every player does that. But some are better shooters, and some are better dribblers and passers. And that determines what position they play on the basketball team. So every believer at times are to be teaching and showing mercy and giving encouragement and giving leadership and so on throughout all these spiritual gifts. That's just part of serving Jesus. But God has actually given to each of us a special endowment of grace so that in that mix of various ways we serve, there are some we actually have supernatural ability to do it. You may not have discovered that yet, but God wants you to discover it, and it'll help you determine the position you play on the team. God has a position. So let's just, again, take this to the area of athletics. If you got an athlete who's 6'10 and has a 40-inch vertical leap and has great hand-eye coordination and is mobile and good agility and good footwork, would you go, that guy ought to be a gymnast? You're laughing because you know, because gymnasts don't have that athletic skill set. Would you say, that guy ought to be a jockey in horse racing? No. Now, you may say, that guy might be a volleyball player, but what sport do you think he's most designed to play? Basketball, right? So, see, who he is in the way he's been designed helps determine what he ought to do. In the same way, spiritually speaking, how God has designed you helps you determine what you ought to do in the body of Christ. See, God has given spiritual gifts, and those gifts determine the function of the position that we're supposed to play. So you belong because you're part of the body of Christ. You're gifted because the Holy Spirit has gifted you, and you're necessary because we need your gifts for the whole church to function the way God has designed Team Jesus to function. Play your position. Here's a third observation. Spiritual gifts are given according to God's grace. Spiritual gifts are given according to God's grace. So you belong, you're gifted, you're necessary, and you're gifted by grace. See, everything in the Christian life is a ministry of grace. Did you know that? Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast." Paul exhorts Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Says over in Romans chapter 5, "The law was introduced so that the transgression might increase. But grace increases all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might reign through eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord." Grace is the means by which we connect with God and live for God and serve God, and everything in the Christian life is grace. It's all God's blessing, God's favor, God's anointing, God's initiation, God's empowerment, God's provision. That's grace. And everything about serving God is about grace. Everything about spiritual gifts is about grace. In fact, Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 12. He says that we should, he says, "By the grace of God given to me, I say to you," this is Romans 12, 3, "not to be, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment." And then he says, "For we're all one body and we're all members to one another." And then he says, "We have different gifts according to the grace of God given to us." We have different gifts according to grace. The word for gift is charismata, which means grace gift. So we have a grace gift according to charis, grace. So it puts grace upon grace. You have a grace gift given to you by grace. You have a grace gift given to you by grace. You have a grace gift given to you by grace. All of us as believers in Jesus Christ have received grace gifts given by grace. So how do you think we're supposed to use them? By grace. That's the healthy church. That's the healthy body. That's Team Jesus functioning the way Team Jesus is supposed to function. We have received gifts according to the grace of God. So in a few months, it's going to be Christmas. And all over, really all over the world, there are going to be parents who are going to delight in giving gifts to their children. And they're going to want to bless their children. They're going to want to see their children have joy. And they're going to give their children gifts because they love them, because they want to bless them, and because they want them to have joy. And many of those gifts, not only are they going to bless and be an expression of love, but they're actually going to be useful. They're actually going to be something their kids are going to be able to use because the parents know, hey, this is something you need, and I'm going to give it to you, and then you're going to be able to use it. God, as the perfect parent, who loves us and delighting in giving good gifts to his children, out of grace, has given to us spiritual gifts because we need them in the church and Team Jesus, and we're going to be able to use them to serve one another and to serve Jesus and to function according to the design that God has intended for us to function. Gifts are a result of the grace of God being extended to us. And Peter says this over in 1 Peter chapter 4, "Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's word. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength which God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So Peter says, we are good managers of God's grace. When? When we use the gifts that God's given to us. We're good managers of the grace he gives to us when we use his gifts. And he says, we glorify Jesus. When? When we use his gifts. We glorify Jesus when we use his gifts. You see, spiritual gifts are given according to the grace of God. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you a supernatural endowment of grace in a particular area so that you can serve him by serving others and building up the body of Christ and playing your position on Team Jesus. So you belong, and you're gifted, and you're necessary, and you've received grace. It's the truest thing about you. So play your position. Play your position. Here's a fourth observation. God has given the spiritual gifts, according to this passage, of prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and showing mercy. In this passage, he's given the specific spiritual gifts of prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and showing mercy. They're supernatural abilities designed by God to serve Jesus by serving others, building up the church. So you have a specific endowment of grace, a specific calling by God, a specific function in the body, a specific position to play. And he's telling us seven of the spiritual gifts that are mentioned. Now, in this passage, there are four passages, by the way, that outline spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter 4. Now, there's some differences of opinion among people who are basically on the same page of understanding the truth, but they differ a little bit because there are four passages and there are lists of gifts in these four passages. And in some of the lists, some of the gifts are the same, but in some of the lists, the gifts are different. So if you took a composite view, there'd be like 19 gifts mentioned. And so you have some people believe that these are the only 19 that exist. Some people believe that these are 19 representative gifts. Some people believe that that the concept of spiritual gifts is fluid. They come and go. I mean, you've got some different opinions about this. I'm the preacher. I get to give you my opinion. Context is king in understanding the Bible. Just like, you know, in real estate, they say there's three principles of real estate: location, location, location. In interpreting the Bible as to what it really means, the three principles are context, context, context. And in each of the passages on spiritual gifts, yeah, it's teaching about the body of Christ. It's speaking about serving the Lord. It's speaking about the expression of God's grace. It's speaking about spiritual gifts, but there's a certain context around it. And in this particular passage, the context around this description of gifts is all about the body and our membership to one another in the body. The context around 1 Corinthians 12 about spiritual gifts is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our gifts. The context around Ephesians 4 is the leadership gifts for equipping the whole body to do service. And the context around 1 Peter 4 is that when everything's said and done, all the gifts are either speaking or serving. It's kind of like they come out in two categories. So again, I told you this has great sports application. So in terms of the athletic interpretation of the Bible, I believe this. Romans 12 is describing the gifts that basically make up, when you look at the sport and you look at the team and you look at the positions on the team, these are the basic positions on the team. That's Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is like, now, given what the sport is all about, if you could have every position even specifically down to doing everything that's supposed to happen on the field, these would be all the gifts. 1 Peter 4 says, now, when you look at what you're supposed to be doing on the field, just like Vince Lombardi says, it's all in football, it's all about blocking and tackling. When you look at it, it's all about serving or speaking. That's what it is. You're either serving somebody or you're speaking something to somebody when you exercise a gift. And then Ephesians chapter 4 says, yeah, but for the team to be complete and really be all it's supposed to be as a team, it's got to have its coaches. Because the coaches train and teach and equip the players. And so here are the coaching positions necessary for the team to function the way the team is supposed to function. That's the athletic interpretation of spiritual gifts. So Romans chapter 12, what is it telling us? When you just look at serving Jesus, here's the basic positions in the body of Christ. What are the basic positions? prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. God has a function for every person here, and you need to play your position. If we all played our position, the whole team would win. See, in college football, one of the great offenses is the option offense, a play called an option. And it means pretty much what it says. There are options. So the quarterback takes the ball from center, and he has some options. He can hand it off to the fullback. He can run down the line himself, or he can pitch the ball to a trailing back. And now they even have pass option type things that a quarterback could play. So one of the reasons that the option is such a great play is if you're on defense and the quarterback takes the ball and does this, you might think this is what the play is. So everybody kind of moves in to try to make the tackle. But what if he doesn't give it and instead runs around? Well, now the defense has gotten out of the position they're supposed to play. They're not playing their position, and that makes an opportunity for a score. Or what if the quarterback does this, and everybody goes, no, that's a fake, he's not doing that. And then he comes up like this, and on the defense, they think, oh, he's gonna run, and so everybody pinches in to cover the run, but just before he's about to be tackled, he pitches the ball. And then the trailing back gets the ball, and there's no one to stop him. See, so both on offense and on defense, you got to play your position, because a good option quarterback will take the ball and fake here, and he'll several times in a row come up and actually run. So they come down and they tackle him. He'll take the hit. They'll come down and he'll run, and they'll take the hit. He'll come down and he'll run, and he'll take the hit. And then another time, he'll come down, and he's just about to run. And now, whether it's the defensive end or the outside linebacker or maybe sometimes the quarterback, they think, this guy's running it. So they all pinch right in, right? And just before he's about to be hit, he goes, boop, and he passes the ball out. And the trailback has it, and there's no one to stop him, and he runs for a touchdown. And the reason he does is because the defensive players didn't play there. You have a position to play in the body of Christ, on Team Jesus. And it's all according to your spiritual gifts. That's why knowing your spiritual gifts is so important. So Paul says you got prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Prophecy is speaking words of truth, clarification, and direction. It's revealing God's will. And sometimes that's declaring a message from God's word, and sometimes it's the Holy Spirit giving me a message to declare to you. Some words of prophetic direction that I'm supposed to share with you. Serving is seeking to help people, seeking to help programs, seeking to help systems. It's just the broad-based, all-around volunteer position. How can I serve? Put me in, coach, how can I serve? That's like a guy who just wants to get into the game, and he doesn't matter whether it's quarterback or running back or offensive line or defensive line. I'm in the game. What do you need? I'm going to go in and do it, coach. Teaching, that's speaking words of truth, exhortation, and exposition, especially of the scriptures. Encouragement, that's speaking motivation, application, and encouragement to people. It's the Greek verb parakaleo. Sometimes it's translated encouragement. Sometimes it's translated exhortation. Again, my personal opinion, it's the same thing. That's kind of a function of your personality. Some people are more exhorters. This is what you need to do. And some people are more encouragers. How can I help you do it? Giving, that's providing financial resources and means to serve God and fulfill Christ's will for the church. Leading, that's giving direction and influencing people towards accomplishing God's goals. And mercy, that's providing compassion and care to those in need. So these are the basic positions on the team. And God has given us a position to play. These gifts, they operate as motivations and actions. So let me give you an example. This is to exaggerate the point. Seven people are having dinner at a little dinner party. And each of them have a different spiritual gift. Someone reaches over for something on the table, accidentally knocks over their glass of water, psh, spills everywhere. The person with the gift of prophecy says, if you'd have been more careful, you wouldn't have knocked the water over. The person with the gift of teaching says, you know, it's really interesting. When you hit that water, it moved at a 45-degree angle. And when water is displaced at a 45-degree angle, actually, there's a Greek word there, water, uh-oh. And what it means is water spilling out of a glass. And that's what happened. Person with a gift of encouragement said, you know, that's okay. I've spilled water before. Just, hey, next time, I bet you'll do a better job. Person with the gift of giving says, you know, I'm happy to buy a new water glass for you and pay for the dry cleaning of the table. Person with the gift of leading says, okay, this is what we're going to do. Why don't you go get a napkin? Would you get another water glass? And would you help them move out the chair and we'll clean this all up? And the person with the gift of mercy just goes, oh, man, how do you feel? See, our spiritual gifts kind of drive what motivates us and how we respond. And in the body of Christ, in Team Jesus, in the work of Jesus Christ, there are all kinds of people needs. Loving God and loving people. And we need a whole team so that we love God and love people the best we possibly can. And each function on that team is important and necessary. And when all of them are working, Team Jesus wins. Team Jesus wins. So how do you discover your spiritual gifts? Let me give you the number one way to discover your spiritual gift. And it's not what you think I'm going to say. Get into the game and start serving. Just get into the game. Start serving. Say, send me in. What can I do? Serve in children's. Serve in youth. Serve as a small group leader. Serve as a greeter. Serve in helping organize a retreat. Serve in one of our outreach teams in the food pantry. Serve as financially contributing to help someone go on a mission trip. Serve. The more you get involved in serving, the more you understand how you've been specifically designed to serve. My father-in-law, who coached football his entire life, one of the things that he told me that he was particularly gifted at as a football coach is helping players figure out their best position. So there are oftentimes in college football where they would recruit a player who played a certain position in high school. They'd get him into college and realize that wasn't their best position. They were a great athlete, and they could do it, but that wasn't what they did best, and he would help them figure out what did they do best, and then they'd have a great collegiate career and oftentimes a pro career playing football at a position they didn't even play up to that point. But the reason they were in a position to discover what their best position was is they got in the game. So get in the game. One last point, and it's just been what I've been saying all along. God gives spiritual gifts so that we will use them to serve others and build up the body of Christ. It's to use them. Gifts are given to be used. Notice even in the passage, with every gift that's mentioned, there's an application. If it's prophecy, then prophesy. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouragement, then encourage. If it's leading, then lead. If it's giving, then give. If it's showing mercy, then show mercy. Because God wants everybody in the game. Team Jesus wins when everybody is in the game. You know, today in football stadiums across the country, pro games are going to be played. They're going to be all of these fans in desperate need of exercise and all of these players in desperate need of rest. In churches across America, all over today, there are a few dedicated servants in desperate need of help and a lot of people sitting in the pews in desperate need of getting in the game. We're all on Team Jesus. We've all been given spiritual gifts. Let's use them in serving Jesus and one another and the church. Let's get in the game. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to every person here this morning. Give them clarity about the position that you've called them to play. Give them excitement about playing that position. And may Crossline be a church where everyone is needed, everyone is involved, everyone is serving because grace is being poured into their lives and grace is coming out of them as they serve Jesus and the body of Christ. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, in your bulletin, there is a card. If you could just take this out, you received that as you came in. It says on one side, Crossline Serving Opportunities. And on the back are all the various areas, the positions that you can play in using your spiritual gifts. In our tent right next door, we have all of our ministry set up. There's a table set up. There are volunteers behind those tables who are waiting to receive people who are excited about serving Jesus. We're all on Team Jesus, and we all need to get in the game. Here's a simple mechanism. Just fill this out, your name, your email, your phone number. On the back, according to your gifts, your calling, your passion, your desire, your time availability, this is where I'd like to be serving and helping out Team Jesus. And then walk out onto the patio, walk underneath the tent, go up to the table and say, I'm here. Give me my helmet, coach. Put me in the game. Because we're going to serve Team Jesus together. God bless you. Have a great day.